Get your daily market recap on the latest stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Jonathan Farrell and Lisa Abramowitz. Daily, we bring you insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. Find Bloomberg Surveillance on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Bloomberg Terminal. He is the former mayor of Boston. He is now Secretary of Labor. Here with our John Farrow. Let's listen to Marty Walsh.
U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. Secretary Walsh, great to catch up with you, sir. Your reflection, your reaction to this jobs report this morning.
Certainly, it's a good jobs report. Anytime you go over projections, it's a good job report. We saw some areas in this, in manufacturing and transportation, which the numbers are really good in, and seeing continued strength there. Retail numbers are very good as well, and I think what's exciting about that is the fact that, you know, when we think about retail, we often think about online shopping, and we're actually starting to see the in-store shopping stronger than it has been in quite some time. We're excited about that. I think these numbers that we come on here and talk about 400,000, 500,000 jobs, eventually we'll kind of revert back to a normal process here. I have not seen that since I've been Labor Secretary because we're recovering from a pandemic. But overall, 95% of the jobs that were pre-pandemic have recovered. And we're seeing wage growth. And the one area where wage growth is really good is in the hospitality industry that is outpacing inflation. But we all know, you open the show here right now with the stock market, the volatility in the stock market. Obviously, we have pressures on inflation. So there's still much work to be done here. But overall, this report was good.
Secretary Walsh, what does the two available jobs for every unemployed worker in America tell you right now about the strength of this labor market?
Well, I think that, you know, we clearly know that there's work to be done. We were looking at that number this morning as well about the people that are not participating in the workforce. And we're looking at the number of the people that for the last month haven't or looked for a job but didn't get a job. And clearly the question is, if we have 12 million jobs opening, 6 million people roughly looking for work, why shouldn't they be able to find a job? And I think we have to do a little diver, look into that number regionally to see exactly what the reason is. I mean, are people underskilled? Do we need to scale them up? Are they really looking for work? How do we encourage them to get to work? So there's some work here now to do. And I think that, you know, when I look at the economy and I look at workforce development, I don't look at it globally. These numbers are all great, but you dive into the numbers and it tells you a different story sometimes.
Secretary Walsh, I want to do some work with you as well on what's about to happen on the West Coast. As you know, we've got these labor negotiations going on with the Allied Port Workers, with the unions. Can you walk me through, just give me an idea of the terms of negotiating? I know you might be a part of that story.
Yeah, this is a little different. I mean, the way this usually works is the port workers, they don't start negotiating until I think the next week or so. The contract ends the end of June. So there's about a 6-week window where people will negotiate. And generally what happens is if you don't get to a negotiation, if you don't get to an agreement by the end of June, they'll extend the contract to continue to negotiate. The last time there was a strike in the ports was, I believe, 1972, 1973 area. So I'm not concerned about strikes. What I'm hopeful for is to encourage both sides to stay at the table and get this deal done as soon as possible, because we can't afford any type of work slowdown. We can't afford any type
we
of...
We can't.
Any type of bump in negotiation. I was in L.A. a week ago, and I think at the time I was there, we had 27 ships in the harbor. When I was there 3 months before that, there were 67 ships. So we're seeing a lot of ease of cargo coming into the ports. But we also, on the other side of the other side of the ocean, we're seeing ships lined up in China that eventually will be loaded and brought to the United States. So we just need to continue to keep our supply chain moving forward.
Secretary Walsh, we've touched on this together in the past. I want to do it again. What do you think the difference is between leveraging your position as a port worker with the union representing you and holding the economy hostage? What's the difference?
Well, I think it's important. My role as Secretary of Labor is important because I've literally negotiated on both sides of the table. I've negotiated on the labor side and I've negotiated on the management side when I was mayor of the city of Boston. And I think that it's not, you know, I don't need to get involved and we don't need to get involved in this negotiation unless we have to. And I think that anytime there's a negotiation going on in this country, it's always better to try and do it without a mediator or without somebody intervening, because it shows that both sides are committed to getting it done. I feel in this particular case, on the ports of the West Coast, both sides are very committed to getting a contract done.
Secretary Walsh, I just wanted a final question about the release of the data and the process. It's not responsible for the prices on the screen. The equity market's been a mess the last few days, but it was responsible for some volatility around 8:30 Eastern time. As you know, the process for releasing the jobs numbers has changed somewhat. There used to be these lockups where you'd get the information before and the media organisations would sit on it responsibly, then release it at 8:30 Eastern time. That's changed. Now everyone's scraping the information off the websites, the internet. Of course, HFTs, web scrapers, people with that edge get the numbers then before, say, the retail trader. Can we reassess this? Would you go back over the process and have a look at it again?
Well, I know it was clearly pre-pandemic, but in this particular case, the way we released the information, everybody gets it at the same time. It's a fair way to do it. Every news outlet, from big news outlets to medium news outlets to small news outlets, get the same exact information at the same exact time. And I think that, you know, I think there was an evaluation here, and one of the results were that we're better off being fair than not fair. The people that had the ability to send people to this building and get the information, yet a smaller news outlet in the Midwest couldn't get here.
But they all release it at the same time, sir, at 8:30 Eastern time. That's the whole point. The problem is that when you release it on the website, not everyone gets it from the website because they don't get it as quickly as other people. Do you understand that? That other organizations, you can have a wider spread of organizations that can push out the information simultaneously without racing to the website.
Well, I mean, I don't know if racing to the website is a problem. I think that when you hit the website, everyone has the ability to get the information at the same time. If it's at this building, everyone does not have the ability to come to this building.
Okay, that's your perspective. Secretary Walsh, we appreciate your time,
sir. Thank you.
I know you're super, super busy again. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcast. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Never problematic is to speak with Jeffrey Rosenberg with BlackRock, a tour de force on our Fed show a few days ago, and he joins us again. Jeff, to me, it's a massive continuum. It's just a movement forward of the American labor economy. Does that surprise you?
No, this is a very strong labor market. You know, the markets are parsing the very small, deviations versus expectations. And I think Jonathan, highlighted it. You know, the participation rate, is a little bit disappointing, as Randy kind of laid out. You know, I think that could be chalked up to the surge that we're seeing in the Omicron BA2 variants and some of the impacts there. That's a bit disappointing. On the other side is the disappointment on the AHE figures, which on an unrounded basis, 0.31 month over month, year over year, a little bit lower than that 5.5%, 5.4. So that helps to offset. This is a little bit, kind of splitting hairs. But, where we're focused on is the expectation is the healing on the supply side of labor market will help to bring the pressure down on wage inflation. And this report doesn't really clarify which way that goes. I think it's kind of a mild market reaction. So the story remains the same. Very strong labor market, uncertainty as to whether or not we're going to see the pressure come off on wages by more supply. On the part rate, John, as you mentioned, you can't say that this is a strong ringing endorsement of the view that the supply side is going to come and ride to the rescue of the wage inflation pressures.
Honestly, I find this report on the margins really confusing because you have a beat in the overall numbers, which would suggest more people are coming in, that the supply is greater, and yet you have a decline in participation. It's a bit confusing. At what point, Jeff, can we say that the data starts to matter in terms of giving the Fed some sort of conviction in moving either faster or faster longer or pulling back?
Well, it's that wage piece, so we're not really getting a material slowdown yet in the wages. And most importantly, as Powell said two days ago, 1 month isn't going to be that definitive change. It's going to be the trend in that wage inflation. And right now we're coming off of a very strong ECI print, the quarterly prints, this AHE rate isn't really materially decelerating. You could argue there's a little bit of deceleration in 1 month, but it will be that sequence of reports and lots of different reports that we track the labor market from survey data to Atlanta Fed wage tracker to the ECI to the monthly labor reports. They all have to point to the same direction that we're seeing the froth, the heat come off on the labor markets. That will give the Fed the confidence that what Powell said 2 days ago is correct, which many people, I think correctly may have disagreed with. Where are we with respect to the wage price spiral? His view was no need to worry. A lot of other pieces of information saying we may be right in the middle of that. And so the wage figures are really going to be center on that. Not much new that we can take away, maybe a little bit on the margin, but it's a pretty mixed report.
Another big range in this equity market. The S&P now positive 0.1%. The Nasdaq 100 up 0.2%. Already this morning, a pretty big range on Nasdaq 100 futures. At the lows, we were negative 1 percentage point. The low was a little more than an hour ago. Big turnaround, positive 0.25%. I'll be catching up with Rick Rieder, Jeff's colleague, in about 30, 40 minutes from now to go through the bond market and what this all means. I'll catch up with Anastasia Amoroso a little bit later after that with Mike Collins and Mohammed Al-Erin around the opening bell. After that, TK, if you haven't had enough, we'll get the view from the White House. Secretary Walsh coming up very shortly in the next hour.
Well, the Secretary is going to look, John, at a 3 month moving average on non-farm payrolls with that big 700,000 statistic of 535,000. Jeff Rosenberg, let me ask you a really, really dumb question. The public's going to want to go, what's wrong with generating 535,000 jobs per month over 90 days? Why are people lathered up at this sterling job formation?
It's a great question. And, go back to what Powell said Wednesday, what we discussed. And I think it was the most important takeaway because, what they're really trying to say is they're on the case of inflation, that inflation is the most important objective within the dual, or if you add financial stability, the three objectives. And what he said clearly was that you can't have the benefits of broad-based and inclusive labor markets without price stability. Price stability is necessary for the benefits of that labor market growth. So if we're generating too much job growth, we're generating too much inflation, real wages are falling. And that's really the issue we have right now, is that, yes, there's a lot of strength in the labor market, but it's not keeping pace with inflation, which means real incomes are falling. And that's why when you look at consumer confidence, when you look at small business confidence, the confidence figures are falling, and in small business are exceptionally low because of the impact of this inflation. And so they're going to preference fighting inflation over the job market. Now, what he said is, hey, they can do both. They can find the path. There's not going to be a recession. There's plenty of froth that they can take out without raising unemployment. We'll see whether or not that's going to be the case. You can see lots of former Fed officials coming out and saying that's not going to be the case, and they're going to actually have to tighten into restrictive territory. But it's because inflation is the most important priority right now.
Jeff, after yesterday, there was this whipsawing in markets. And today we're looking at the carnage of yesterday. And some people are saying, is it time to buy the dip? And I know that you've been cautious. I'm wondering if you're more or less cautious after the price action and, frankly, the willingness that people have to just absolutely go and just take the message on inflation away from the Fed and put it towards something that is a more concerning nature.
I would say when you look back at Wednesday and Thursday, you know, what happened, right? And lots of people coming up with explanations, but just what happened was massive uncertainty reflected in huge swings in financial markets. And so the takeaway is this is a reflection of the significant point we are with respect to uncertainty around policy and the economic and financial implications of that policy tightening. And so it makes me, you know, reaffirming our more cautious view that swing in financial markets is validating that this is going to be a very tough environment until we get through the clarity around what is that path of inflation and how tight does the Fed have to get. When we're in that uncertainty period, you got to have to expect that's reflected in these higher levels of volatility and therefore a little bit more conservatism in your portfolio.
Bloomberg Television, Bloomberg Radio, Jeffrey Rosenberg of BlackRock.
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcasts. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at QuickBooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It is a perfect time off of a good jobs report, if not a very good jobs report, with a 90-day moving average of non-farm payrolls, Paul, with revision, 535,000.
Fantastic.
5 years ago, 10 years ago, we would have killed for that statistic.
Yep.
The Optimist joins Neil Dutta with Renaissance Macro this morning. Neil, how does this jobs report reaffirm your congenital optimism on the American experiment?
Well, it just shows a continued strong labor market dynamic. I think at the margin, it was kind of Goldilocks-like, solid jobs growth. The unemployment rate was flat. Wage growth moderated a bit. I think this will take off. If Powell didn't do it already, it'll clip a lot of the potential hawkish tail risk outcomes around the Fed. No one's really going to be talking about 75 basis points anymore after this report. So I think it's welcome. And I think some of the details under the surface were encouraging, right? Like manufacturing employment is booming. So the goods side of the economy looks pretty healthy, and that tends to be more cyclically sensitive.
Neil, what do you think about wages going forward here? It seems like when we get down to these unemployment rate numbers, it really suggests that the pressure is mounting to really push wages up. How do you think about that in the context of the overall inflation we're seeing in our economy?
Well, wages have been so strong in certain industries as it is, and you're actually beginning to see some of those industries start to moderate somewhat. So like leisure and hospitality, it's still quite strong, but it's not nearly as strong as it was several months ago. The same as can be said for retail trade. But I do think as participation rates, I know we didn't have a good month for the participation rate this month. A lot of that was just a function of the younger workforce, I believe. But, if participation picks up and more people are looking for work, that will make those that are already working less tempted to quit their jobs, kind of switch from one employer to another. And that should, take some of the air out of wage growth. So I would expect wage growth to moderate somewhat from where it is right now over the remainder of the year.
All right. Well, I just found out my youngest is starting his summer job Sunday. So another person getting back into the workforce. So that's good news. And I think we're seeing that across the board. But Neil, if I'm the Federal Reserve here, this is a pretty solid number.
Wait. You mentioned the punchline here. This is one of these Cusher banking jobs where his entry is 150.
Animal Hospital. Animal Hospital, Monterey County, California. So he went out and got his job. He's probably my most aggressive of my four kids, and he's the youngest.
Cool. Can he, I got a couple people that can take a call from.
Exactly.
Continue with Mr. Dunn.
Yeah, I'm going to get him off the dole soon. So, Neil, again, my Federal Reserve, they're aggressive. The question is, how aggressive should they be? So when they see a numbers report like this, I guess their measured approach seems to be the way to go.
Well, I think the question you have to ask yourself really is, is the Fed going to risk a hard landing of the economy, right? When they talk about soft landing, what they're really talking about is they're willing to tolerate a little bit more relative to their inflation target so that they don't have to push the unemployment rate up too much. I think they're going aggressively relative to what we've normally been accustomed to. I mean, Powell basically greenlit three consecutive 50 basis point moves and said the next move wouldn't be to stop, but it would just simply be to go 25 at the remaining three meetings of the year. So that's a pretty aggressive interest rate move relative to what we've seen in recent memory. So, I don't know what neutral is, and neither do they. My assumption is that it's probably higher than where they would end the year. But, the fact that the Fed's willing to do so much, I think, is important in and of itself. I mean, if you told someone late last year that the Fed was going to go 50 basis points at the May meeting, I mean, you would have been laughed out of the room. So I think that, they've pivoted quite aggressively.
Neil, very important to follow on from two brilliant conversations in the last 48 hours. Michael Darda, MKM Partners, and Dominic Constant, Mizuho. Both look at the nominal component of real GDP plus inflation. They see a Fed, and this is Constum's language, it is necessary and sufficient to knock inflation down, service sector coming on after a diminution of goods inflation. Great. And that because nominal GDP will come in, because of the ginormous inflation now, it will come in, not with a vengeance, but it will come in as well, providing an optimism the Fed can succeed. Discuss that outcome, that inflation comes in, just because it's so large now, it's got to come in.
Well, as I mentioned, Tom, I mean, manufacturing employment was quite strong. What does that mean? It means that industrial production is accelerating. And what does that mean? It means that inventories are likely accelerating. And what does that mean? It means that the prices for durable goods will moderate. And so I think the Fed is going to kind of have the wind behind their back with respect to the inflation data over the next several months. I mean, we know that car prices, wholesale sort of auction prices for used cars have been coming down. That's going to bleed into consumer prices. Obviously, motor vehicle assemblies are accelerating. That's going to bleed into new car prices. And that decline is a big reason why, I mean, why inflation, at least, headline and core inflation will moderate. We've seen some flattening out of energy. Obviously, energy prices are still quite high. Oil prices, not gas prices, are going up. So that's something to think about. But I think, you know, when I look at sort of core inflation, that will be moderating somewhat because the durable goods, core consumer durables will have moderated. And, you know, let's not forget the dollar here either. I mean, the dollar has been strengthening. Mm-hmm. What is that going to do? That's going to push down the prices for imported consumer goods.
All right. So, Neil, let's talk about economic growth here. Recession, stagflation, which I had to go back to my economics textbook and get the definition thereof. Are either of those issues in your forecast?
I don't have recession in my forecast, no. And I don't think anyone else does either. I mean, what is it, 70% chance of no recession over the next 2 years?
Yeah, Deutsche Bank.
Did I say that right?
No, Neil, to be fair, Focus Landau and Luzzetti over at Deutsche Bank have a printed recession call. But as you correctly say, Neil, that's out 2 years. I don't know how you do that.
Look, in this business, it's difficult to see forward 2 months, let alone 2 years.
It's like Red Sox baseball.
But I would just tell you, next year, is China looking better than it does now or worse? I would argue better.
Okay.
Is Europe looking better than it does now or worse? I would argue better. So the argument is that the U.S. economy is going to slip into a recession at a time when Europe and China are probably accelerating. I mean, we know that China is easing conditions in their economy, lockdown notwithstanding. So when they reopen, that they should have some momentum behind them.
Stay with us. We got Secretary Walsh coming up, Secretary of Labor with John Farrow, and Michael Barr will be on now. But we continue with Neil Dutta here. Neil, I've been talking about this for 3 days. Based on everything we know about the pandemic, there will be an end to the lockdown in China. When that occurs, what does it mean for our listeners from sea to shining sea?
Well, I think it introduces an incremental source of demand to the global economy and will relieve pressure on global supply chains. So it would imply a shifting composition in nominal growth. You would have a little bit more quantity and a little bit less price.
There we go. Neil Dutta, thank you so much. Renaissance Macro.
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcast. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder.
That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
I need to review this, folks, so you understand the framework. First of all, the singular interview we have had on the war in Ukraine was with General Kimmett many, many weeks ago, where he described exactly what would occur in these urban areas of Ukraine. Of course, it's a much larger story and centers this morning on the new strategy and new visibility of U.S. intelligence assisting Ukraine, and specifically off of NBC News and then rewritten by the New York Times and the Washington Post in immense detail this morning, the shades, the colors of assistance on intelligence that we provided, and alluding to, of course, the sinking of the Russian, substantial Russian ship in the Black Sea. Mark Kimmett, with a sterling career with the United States Army, including artillery, and also his service to the Supreme Command in NATO. Mark Kimmett, were you surprised by the depth of this reporting from sources, from people familiar, from U.S. officials?
No, I really wasn't. If you take a look at significant material support that we have been giving to the fight, artillery, Javelin missiles, switchblades, if we are giving that level of material support, why wouldn't we be giving that level of intelligence support as well? I'd be surprised if we hadn't been providing that level of support.
Should those along the Eastern Front of Europe, up to Finland and all the challenges they have with NATO admission, should they be worried of the reaction off of the last 48 hours reports from Mr. Putin?
I don't necessarily see why would they would be concerned. If you're talking about these phony nuclear threats that he's been putting out, I wouldn't lose any sleep over that at all.
General, I'm sure I'm like a lot of observers of this conflict. I'm just shocked at the poor performance of the Russian military. What does Mr. Putin do now from a military perspective here? Because it seems like every day that goes past, Ukraine gets more and more momentum.
Well, he's already downscaled his aspirations. Remember, he started off his attack towards Kyiv with the intent of a lightning-like blitzkrieg of armored forces and airborne forces to take Kyiv, turn over the government, put in a puppet regime. That was pretty bold. And now, because of the consistent failures that they've had to downscope their aspirations. So they're now pretty much focused on the area that the separatists already had. What's he going to do going forward? More than likely, he will continue to double down. The last thing he wants to do on May 9th is stand up in front of his people and say, I'm giving up. So in typical Russian fashion, he'll just keep pushing more and more troops into this cauldron and try to fight for a little bit of more territory, which he may or may not get, and hope that Europe will finally get tired of this and need gas more than they need Ukrainian independence.
So, General, again, from the Ukrainian perspective, assuming that they continue to get increased military support from Western nations, other European nations, What do you think their aspirations should be? Should they be, we're going to get Russia out of the whole of Ukraine, or do you think they will negotiate for maybe something a little bit more modest?
Well, certainly that's their aspiration, not only to get Russia out, but actually to extend sovereignty back into the Donbas region, which is pretty much a Wild West controlled by the separatists. Logically, though, I think they will probably, at best, get back to where it was about a year ago, where the Donbas continues to be an unsettled region, and they have territorial control over the rest of Ukraine, and it turns into what some would call a frozen conflict, the kind of conflict we had in Nagorno-Karabakh between Azerbaijan and Armenia for many years, between India and Pakistan and the Kashmir. Just be a frozen conflict that goes on for quite some time.
If you're just joining us, Mark Kimmett with us for an extended conversation this morning off of U.S. intelligence discussions of the last 24 hours, but of course of the war in Ukraine in general. General Kimmett, there's been so much talk in the interviews Paul Sweeney and I have done about World War III, and what I find is international relations pros and military retired are heated that it is overwrought. Should we analyze an expansion of the war? Should that be part of the discussion?
Well, first of all, I agree with those retired generals that are talking about this being overwrought. I mean, this is the life we lived during the Cold War years. Bob Gates, at a recent dinner that I was at, the former Secretary of Defense, said, we just got to realize that this holiday from history that we've had over the last 25 years has come to an end. And we're getting back to that great power competition between Russia and the United States these days. So this should be seen as the norm and not necessarily as something new.
Robert Gates is extraordinary, folks. I'm going to steal that phrase,
yep.
Paul, this
yeah.
weekend from General Kimmett and from Secretary Gates, holiday from history. Many have written about, I believe it was 2008 in Belgrade, and a meeting of EU, NATO, America. I don't have the details in front of me, sir. I'm sorry. With Secretary Rice, among others, where maybe we made the decision to extend towards Russia. That's not Mark Kimmett territory. You're not one to navel gaze back and say, shoulda, coulda, what if. When you hear people analyze the what ifs of the U.S. in the post-Cold War, the holiday from history, how do you respond to that?
Well, so there's two arguments there. And this whole subject of NATO expansion, which came really started right around 1992, 1993, and was in full swing by the time that meeting happened in Belgrade. There are two sides of the argument. The first side of the argument says Russia has always demanded a buffer with the West. The word Ukraine in Polish means frontier. The Kraina, as people would remember from the Balkans days, meant frontier. Russia always wanted a buffer from the West. And we saw it in this century as the Warsaw Pact. Those countries between the NATO, Western European companies, countries and Russia. The problem that Russia has and the problem that argument has is if you agree that Russia should have a buffer zone, well, that means you do not allow for sovereign decisions and national decisions being made by those countries in the way. So it's very easy for us to say this wouldn't have happened if NATO had not crept up on Russia and it's now on the borders of Russia. But you would have to then say, well, does that mean that we need to deny the Romanians and the Hungarians and the Ukrainians their decision to be part of the West rather than part of the East? And I fall on the side of those that say, look, these people have as much right to decide their future, whether they want to lean towards the West or lean towards the East, and we should not deny that to them simply right. because Russia may be a little bit concerned.
General Kimmett, thank you for joining us this morning. Mark Kimmett, of course, a former Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs. This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Join us live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television each day from 6 to 9 a.m. for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. And subscribe to the Surveillance Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Bloomberg.com, and of course, on the Terminal. I'm Tom Keene, and this is Bloomberg.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global and Schneider Electric. Visit BloombergLive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.